Hey, welcome to the PATH podcast that provides transformative insights for authentic success. My name is Chris Weiss, and together with my partners, Stuart Ferguson and Toby Quinton, we make up True PATH Consulting, where our mission at True PATH is to maximize executive performance and drive personal growth by guiding leaders on a journey of self-fulfillment and truth success. I wanted to thank you all for pressing play on whatever device you are listening to us on today. It means a ton to us that you are here. I hope that through our stories and our interviews that you'll find hopefully something in yourself, something that moves you to get curious and possibly even something that triggers you to take action in your life. You see, the goal of this podcast and the goal in our coaching partnerships is to help people find their ideal selves without that motivation of that personal or professional crisis that tends to create the change that we want to see. We're going to bring up topics and curate discussions that will help you take action to find out who you're showing up with or as in the roles that you play in your life. And ultimately, helping you paint a picture of who you want to be and what's getting in your way from truly being who you want to be in your life. We only get one shot at this awesome thing called life, so let's stop being okay with being miserably comfortable. That's a term that we're going to use quite often in some of these discussions, and you'll hear more about that later. And instead, let's be more intentional in following a path of meaning and purpose. With that being said, I'd like to more formally introduce our crew that is going on this journey with you. Toby?
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm excited to be here with two of my great friends. And, you know, I've been doing this coaching, specifically this coaching business, for the last 12 plus years now. And this is a new path for me, this podcast. And I'm excited to do it with the both of them and just reach a larger audience through this platform. So I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, I couldn't be more excited, more honored to be a part of this. You know, the opportunity to work, like Toby said, with two friends that have helped me throughout my life and throughout my career, to be able to be in this situation, collaborating and taking that idea and bringing it to the market to go out and help others is, I can't think of anything more purpose driven that I've done in my life. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later in the podcast, but it's just I think the word that keeps coming to mind is gratitude and, just pure enjoyment of doing this, taking on this chapter with two buddies that I know are going to keep me straight, and that we're going to have a lot of fun through this process. So I'm excited about this. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, enjoyment and fun are two words. I mean, we had to calm ourselves down before pressing record on this because I messed up the first recording, and we were joking around pretty much for the last half hour before we had the courage to press play. So we're definitely having a lot of fun along the journey. Hey, let's get a little bit more in depth with who we are and kind of what got us to this point. One of the coaching techniques, Toby, that you actually have done with me personally, but actually did with my teams back when I was running corporate teams at my last job. And what you did, it was a technique that you showed me that allowed us to better understand our clients, right? Who they were and kind of what they value. And you did that through introductions. And what you did, it was super simple, but what usually came up when you put it in the way that you did, to know Chris is to know. It showed what was showing up in my life at the moment and what was super important to me. So let's use that. Let's use that concept, but let's get a little bit more granular and let's start with family. I know family is one of all of our number one core values. So let's start with family and create a little bit more direction to the introduction. So to know Toby from a family perspective is to know what?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I do think, you know, introductions are important. And as much as, you know, the three of us know each other well, this is a, you know, an opportunity for us to continue to deepen our relationships with each other. And I think for a lot of people out there in the world, to be known and to be seen is important. And intros are the way to do it in a lot of ways. And, you know, family, I love what you said about that. I know the three of us, family is our number one value. So to know me, you need to know that family is important to me and a primary value of what I do. So I'll give you what, you know, I think might be useful to know me by, and that is my wife, Kathleen. We've been married now 24 years, And, you know, she, from a blind date to now, she's been with me for all the ups and downs that, the career, me, taking this path of being a man and then ultimately having kids and, trying to be a best father that I can be to them. And so Kathleen is, she got a background in therapy. I always make jokes about there's a lot of couches in our house. Because with me in the business psychology and her in the therapy background, we do get deep with one another. And I always make a joke, I get free counseling all the time. So this guy here gets a lot of therapy, whether I want it or not. But in all truth, she's my best friend, my partner. She's my advisor. She's the one that picks me up when I don't know that I need that. And she also keeps me straight when I'm getting a little over my skis and thinking I'm a little more than I am. But she's the one I trust to the moon and back. And, you know, this journey, this path that I've been on in life, I just got lucky, really, really lucky to be able to walk with her. She's absolutely completes every sentence for me and is the one for me. Kids wise, you know, we actually didn't know if we were going to be able to have kids. And so we had to go like many people that I've talked to over the years. And it's just like, you know, that funny thing about life. You never know that other people are going through what you're going through until you're going through it. And so all of ours were, you know, kind of done the hard way, so to speak, the in vitro way. And so as a result of that, which tends to happen sometimes, we get twins. So we have three boys. The oldest, Jack, is first year in college and is studying abroad this summer in Japan, which is mind-blowing to me that he's over there. But first year in school has been great, and just the lessons learned through college. And then our twins, William and Oliver, just great kids, the sophomores. They're watching their older brother kind of go through life and probably learning a lot of what not to do as much as what to do. But I'm very thankful that they're all very close to one another. All three of them have learning challenges, dyslexia specifically. And so our journey and to know me and our family is that, you know, Kath specifically has put a lot of time and effort into schooling them as they went through their high school. And it's just been a different road for us, a different path. And as a result of that, we learned a lot of things about ourselves and about them. but it's really, really why I do what I do. And there isn't a day that goes by I don't think about the three boys and how I want to be a dad to them and just the dynamics of how different even that William and Oliver are to each other, and Jack kind of carving his own way and soon to be out of the house completely, and all of those things that I know Stu knows something about, and Chris, I know you're on a similar journey to me, are just, you know, what you need to know me is that portion of it, that immediate family. It's really important. And then the only other thing I would say is that for me, I also look at family as not necessarily blood. I also think it's family through friendships. And I grew up with a handful of guys when I was really, really young. And, you know, loyalty and connection and family, I feel family connection to those boys as I do now with Stu and Chris, as different chapters and different people in my life as I've experienced and got to get closer with. So family's everything to me. It's a big word. It means a lot of things. It's not just blood. It's also those friendships and those people you trust and those people that, you know, will tell you what you have to hear, not what you want to hear. So there's a lot of things associated with that. But rather than go down on all of those things, I just, to know me, you need to know how important those people specifically are, as well as those friends of mine that I've learned, you know, that I've gathered along the way, or that they've come in my life along the way.
Phenomenal. So I'll jump in. To know Stuart is to know from a family perspective. And I think Toby said it so well. You know, for me, my wife has been the North Star to the majority of my life, my adult life. You know, she and I got married very young. I think we were like 23. And, you know, we kind of took on the path of her and I versus the world. And we were going to lock arms and take on life's challenges together. And we've done that. That partnership and that friendship is probably one of the most sacred things that I'll ever experience in my life. And so I put a lot of pride in my relationship with her and the trust that we have built, the ability for me to be authentically myself all the time. and to feel safe as that person has been a true gift. And I, you know, I don't think any of us set out to necessarily as a young man find that. That wasn't necessarily the quality I was hunting for. But thank God that's the quality that showed up and has been a pillar in my, and certainly in a very healthy 27-year marriage. And that 27-year marriage also brought in two wonderfully beautiful, loving daughters that are by far, you know, we're already 10 minutes into the podcast, I'm going to start crying. But the reality is both of my children have been incredibly, not just foundational in the way that I view the world, but these are people that are now empty nesters. As you said, Chris, they've graduated from high school and I've got one that's out into the real world and navigating all those fun adventures. And I have one that's a senior in college. And, you know, the time that I had with them, and all of you will experience this while they were at home, was incredibly rich and important. But the time when they leave and they go off to school and those moments of visits, the holidays, right now I've got both my daughters home for the summer, for the weekend. And that quality time is just something that I don't know of any experience that I've had that's been more impactful than the few minutes that I get with both of my daughters. They have morphed into more than just children. They've morphed into inspiration. They've morphed into friends. They've morphed into this next chapter for me, they're a big part of my purpose. And so I'm very much a family guy. I think you're going to hear me throughout these podcasts bring back the purpose, which is to be not just a role model for my children, but to be that transformational person in their life, not just someone that's checking the box. I work incredibly hard with them to build the relationship of trust and of respect. And so I love the nucleus that we built. Shelly and I have put a lot of time and a lot of effort into this family and the structure of it, and certainly the purpose of it. I'm also, you know, a very proud son. I've got both my parents are still alive, and I'm grateful for the time and the moments I get with them. I do not take them for granted. But like anybody, you know, those stories have lots of different chapters to them as well, of good, bad, and challenging. But the fact, you know, I was raised by a single mom, and the amount of love and care that that woman gave while working 3 to 4 jobs to make ends meet, to know me is to understand that mindset of overcoming obstacles or overcoming challenges is a direct reflection of how my mom navigated her life as an adult, as a single mom trying to raise a crazy, wild child. And that purpose of making sure that her son felt seen, that he was safe, and that he was understood is something that I brought into the family that I now am a major part of, my close family. And that feeling of connection is at the base of all of it. So to know me is to know that there is an unwavering commitment and passion and loyalty to family and friends. And to Toby's point, to be able to, you know, we'll get into True Path here in a little bit, but to be able to do this with two people that I love and I care for deeply and respect tremendously for their strengths, for their loyalty, and for their commitment to working through the ugly. You know, these are two men that have been at the ugliest parts of my life and didn't turn away. They didn't run away. In fact, they ran to it. And those are the types of relationships and connections and community that I think men in our situation need badly. And so I'm just honored to be a part of this. So thank you. Wow. Chris, how about you, buddy?
Yeah, that was awesome. Holy cow. Hey, just to give you guys both some feedback, it's interesting, like what we're trying to create here. Cause like just watching you guys go through and talk about your family, which by the way, most people don't have the opportunity to do, especially men, right? To just have a really creating a moment to describe their family. And I know before this, we were talking about like, well, how long do you want me to go? And I'm like, let's just talk about your family, whatever comes up, right? To the spirit of your exercise, just whatever comes up. Like just seeing you guys, knowing how much I know about both your families and how proud I am of the fathers and husbands and the different roles you guys play in your life. And me too, Stu, is why I'm so excited for being here, like just to be a part of this. But to like, it just gave me chills watching you guys talk about it, because that's what we're looking to do, with this podcast, with our company, to give men or people or whomever we talk to or interact with that space to really go inward and find. And that's, thanks for sharing that. That was a gift. That was awesome. So Toby, you were getting like all choked up. Like you were like, cause I could see the emotion like was like welling up in your chest, man. Sure. And I'm sure it, emotion shows up for me in different ways, but, to know me and my family is a lot of similarities with the two of you guys, you know, and you know that, like I have, a woman that I'm married, Joy, I've been married with. She was my college sweetheart. We met junior year. I make up a story when I tell people that she stalked me for a couple years before she finally tracked me down.
You know the truth to this.
My junior. Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's just amazing. Like we've been together, like you took almost 24 years. We got married in 2000. So it's easy for me to keep track of. And, she's been through it all with me. Right. And I mean, we just had a date night last night, and I'll share a little bit about that later in the episode. But, she's the yin to my yang. She's everything to me. Like she's my groundedness. She is just, she puts up with me. She's an unbelievable mother to the boys. But to go back, we had a little moment last night where we went back and like talked about just college and all that we've been through. And, you know, my son's dating a woman, a girl that's in Philly now with a long distance relationship, but they're on it. You know, every night they're seeing each other on their phones. Like Joy and I mean, like there was no tracking each other down back then, you know? So it was just a different way to, and we did that for several years out of college before we decided to come together in DC. And then eventually in 99, I asked her to marry me. In 2000, we were married. So we've been through it out, which you'll hear a lot throughout some of the stories of our time together in this podcast. But we have three boys, which, it's funny when we go out in public, and I'm sure Kath gets this, Tobe, when like all the boys are in public, like all the older women look at her and like, God bless, you know, they give her the cross, like, God bless you, you know, and that's appropriate for mine. Like my boys are, they're doing all these stupid inappropriate things, but they're just being boys. And I have, Aiden is in college. He's going to Virginia Tech. He just finished up his freshman year, like Tobe's, Jack. In Virginia Tech, he did awesome. Like he lived his best life, and he probably told us too many stories about his, you know, escapades that he was doing extracurricularly that we probably didn't need to hear. But it's good that we have that relationship that he actually shares that with us. So we're really cool with it. It's kind of a be careful what you wish for kind of thing. But then he's also made Dean's List, and he made the honors college, and he's proud of that. Like he's super proud of that. And we're like, we could not be more proud of him. So, you know, this next year will be fun. He gets to move into his own apartment, and he gets to bring his car and all this other stuff. So, I mean, I just remember that time for me. And I honestly think like this year, when you move out of the dorms and you're in your own apartment, like it's probably starts the best 4 to 5 year part of your life. Right. So I'm just excited for him, and I'm excited for our relationship that he shares that with us. So we're actually a part of that with him, which is kind of cool. So, and then on the other side, and then I got a middle son, Parker, who's entering his senior year of high school. So we're going through all those feels because we know how fast that senior year goes. And, he's super excited about it. He's the captain of his soccer team. He's looking to play, you know, soccer in college, hopefully. Unbelievable athlete, just unbelievable guts, gets straight. I mean, just an unbelievable kid. And we're excited for him for his senior year. We're excited to go down the journey with him to kind of figure out what college he wants to go to and where he's going to start that part of his life. So that's like a whole nother set of feels, because we know we're going to be not losing him, but like within 12 months, he's going to be, you know, out at college. And then it's just going to change the family dynamic drastically. Which we're excited about too. But it's definitely a big change. So we got Parker. He's our high school senior. And then we got Tanner, our third, who is entering high school. So he's a freshman in high school, ninth grade. Probably the nicest kid you've ever met in your life. We were privileged enough to go and go his middle school. He won these two awards, which I don't know if there's a better award out there. It was like the kindness award, and it was voted by, there's one voted by the teachers and there's one voted by the students, and he won both. So for us to be there, for him to, and he didn't know we were there. The principal actually called us and asked us. So to be able to be there and see him, you know, and middle school wasn't easy. You know, when the girls went through middle school too, how hard was that? And Toby, the boy, like, so he had his ups and downs through middle school, but to see him stay to true to who he was and that, that kind soul that he is throughout all that. And for people to see that, I mean, and to show up like that, I just think, there's just, it just speaks to the kind of kid he is. So we're super excited about that. You know, high school, actually yesterday, last night, him and Parker went to drop-ins for soccer for the first time together. So Parker's the captain and Tanner's the freshman, and Parker ended up picking him on his team, which was really cool. But they came home and they had a great time, which was really cool. Cause that's, you remember that, how intimidating that was as a freshman. So to have your big brother help you in, and for Parker to do that was amazing. So, That's my core. Like, I'm like you, Stu. It's kind of like us against, like, that's it. Like, don't mess with that core, right? If people mess with that core, then I'm just probably not interested in having you a part of my life. So, but I also have, both parents still around. My mom's in Indiana. She kind of bounces around a little bit, but she's in Indiana, and that's a whole nother, like you said, Stu, I think you said it eloquently. There's a lot of chapters to unpack and unfold in those stories. But it's trying to create a relationship with my mom at this stage in my life that I'm actually excited about doing. That I'm sure you'll hear a little bit more about. And then my dad and my stepmom, Cindy, Frank and Cindy, they've been the stability for me, you know, growing up and moving on. They're a huge part of my life too. And, I got, you know, a real brother in Scott, and I got, you know, sister and, Matt and Kara, stepsister, stepbrother, and Matt and Kara. So I have like an extended family just like everybody else, but like that's kind of to know me is to know all the complexities of that. And to know me is that my core, like, don't mess with that core family. Like, they are my everything. They are why I do everything. They are why I make the decisions I make in my life. They are why I said enough and, hey, let's go build this true path with you two. Like, they're to show them that that's an invaluable option for you, you know, in life, and to make them proud. So, that's me in a nutshell, as far as the family. So
that's great, Chris.
Hey, just for sure. not to derail, but just so you guys know, on the other side, when dads come up to me and say, "Oh my God, you have two daughters. What's that like?" So Joy and Kath get from the moms. I get it from the dads, like, "Ooh, daughters." And totally. To be honest with you, I think you would agree, they all bring their challenges and they all bring their joy. And healthy and happy is the goal. But I thought it was funny. I hope we have a lot of conversations about being dads throughout this podcast, especially having daughters and sons. I'd love to, you know, the perspective of raising sons in this world versus raising daughters. There's probably some uniqueness to it, for sure, especially in the world as it is today. So
no doubt.
But powerful, Chris. I appreciate you sharing, man.
Yeah, you got it. Well, hey, let's switch it a little bit and get a little bit more directional into who we were and who we are in our careers, right? And to know Toby from a professional standpoint is to know what, Tob?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about how to answer this because, you know, for starters, you know, how much time do we want to spend? Yeah, none of us are young guys. And me being the elder statesman on this call, I got a late start with college, or I take that back. I took longer than I should have with college. That's a better way of saying that.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Not a late start. Actually, a lot late finish is what that was. Yeah. But I moved from the Midwest to Arizona. To complete my studies, if you will, from my undergrad perspective. And as a result, I started my career life at 25. And so 30 years removed, I've had a couple significant chapters in my life when it comes to a career. And, you know, to know me from a career perspective, you'd probably need to know that in a very, very early age, my mom and I used to talk all the time about human behavior. And at the time, I would never have named it that. But I remember and reflect a lot about the conversations we used to have as she was teaching me and trying to, you know, help her son be the best he could be in the world, like the three of us are trying to do with our kids. but there was a lot of conversations around, you know, why people do what they do, but more importantly, why do I do what I do? And so I think you can't know me career-wise unless you know that that was probably the initial seed that was planted. And I think through the years and through this work, I've reflected and realized and connected my own dots to figure out where maybe this all started. But when I graduated college, I was, you know, interviewed like most kids at multiple different jobs, didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew that sales and to get back to that human behavior side was something I was always passionate about and interested in. I'm a big time competitor. So I kind of love the idea of kind of getting into either business or marketing was ultimately something that I was interested in. And just so happened to find that that career of mine that I thought I would do for a few years. And I think both of you guys will probably smile because we both all three of us worked for the same company for quite a while. And, you know, probably thought, hey, I'm going to try this out for a few years and get some good sales experience. And then I'm going to go do my own thing. And I feel very blessed that I actually found the right place that allowed me to have that entrepreneurial spirit, if you will, and feel like, you know, I was growing and I was doing it with people I really respected and admired. And so I spent a little over 18 years working in that career all over the country, lucky enough to hold a leadership position for most of that 18 years. Learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about people. And I think that initial seed that mom planted early for me really helped me out with human behavior and studying my own and others. So just a career that I'm forever blessed and grateful for. And the people, more importantly than anything, is what I'm most grateful for of the relationships and friendships that I have to this day. I attribute to that organization. And it's been a great, great ride from an internal perspective. And then, you know, years went by, and at the later stages of my career with that, I started to have a little bit of an itch about, you know, what else would I would do? And is there something else that, you know, I might find like more passionate about or more engaged with? And it was in the realm of this human behavior side. And the organization had retained a wonderful man. He's a mentor of mine, will always be probably the biggest impact player I've had in my career life, no doubt. I would also probably say in a personal side as well, Dr. Joe Currier. And so I got to meet him. And I got to experience his workshops and a lot of what he was doing. And I think before professional development was professional development, he was doing that. And I was taken with it. So there was another seed that was planted for me career-wise that I had no inkling about leaving the organization at that time. I was just very, very enamored with him and what happened when he came to visit and spend a few days with us. And then ultimately, I think not only how the team behaved, but how I behaved and what I learned about myself. And I found myself calling my father and my mother and telling them why I love them and just some really deep stuff that I, at the time, was amazed that the company was sponsoring and that we were doing. And from that, that seed kind of kept growing of, hey, maybe there's one day where I could play in that space. And as coaching started to become a more serious profession, I started to then do some research in that, and I ended up taking some weekend classes on a coaching program. And I just wanted that to supplement my career as a leader. And it did. But what it also did is it planted another seed of, hey, this might be something that you really need to look at. And so the years went by and I just kept, you know, thinking about that. And I really loved the coaching aspect of leadership so much. So I just wanted to do that all the time. I bet my bosses wanted me to do a little less coaching, a little more performance management on occasion. But it was just something that guided me. And so one thing led to another. And, you know, there's more to that story, but I was able to work with Dr. Joe and apprentice under him for nearly a decade and learn a lot from him. And there was another incredible human, Dr. Les Frankfurt, who touched my life in a way different than Dr. Joe, but it was another blessing. And so I had two just world-class psychologists that I just went to school to learn from them, through them, by them, around them, watching them, listening to them. And I feel very grateful. And again, I just landed on my feet, which I don't know how that happened, but very blessed to have met them and had them in my lives. And thankfully, Dr. Joe still is. And Dr. Les since passed, but it just, what a ride that was for me. And so, you know, the last several years I've been more on my own from a career perspective on a coaching side of things, doing a lot of individual and team coaching. This is where I got to, you know, work with Stuart and get to know you, Chris. And it wasn't 2 years, it's probably 4 years or so, but like those times where now I started to interact with you guys and your leadership team. And it was a wonderful journey and a path for me. And, you know, like I said, I cherish more of our friendship than I even do the business relationship that we had. But I do also am grateful of that business relationship because I was able to continue to keep growing and learning this craft of coaching. So, you know, that's 30 years, you know, of my career and two different significant chapters of my career. I'm very thankful I still get to work with the company that I grew up in and still do some business with them. But I, you know, where I'm landing now, it's words like fulfillment, passion, my own personal engagement. And I'm a lifelong learner. And so studying myself as well as continuing to studying the clients and the partners that I get to meet is what really fills my cup. So to be able to do that for a living is amazing. And so the last thing I'll say is my dad was an artist growing up. He used to always say to me as a young man, which I'm sure a lot of us can probably relate to, hey, do what you really want to do for a living and you'll live happy life. And I used to always be pissed about that because I'm like, I don't know how to draw. So like, it's easy for you to say, Pops, because you know how to whip a car design in 10 minutes or less. So I used to always think, well, I don't know that I'm ever really going to find what I really want to do. And it's kind of sad that I even reflect on that to say that, but I just thought I'll do what I have to do and live a good life. But now I get to do what I really want to do and live a good life. What a great marriage of getting to do what I want and getting to love what I do. So I hope that is the case for a lot of people. And I also love the journey of helping them find that marriage of those two things. So that's my career and I'll pass it over to you, Stu. But yeah, just wanted to share that about you need to know this if you're going to know me from a career perspective.
Yeah. And before I get into mine, I'll just say the partnership with Toby the last 4 years of my career was foundational to who I am today. And I'm excited to share more about that when we get in a little further into the podcast. But I want to just one publicly and very, very directly thank you for being that coach and being that man on a journey and allowing people like myself and Chris to walk with you. And so not only is this relationship founded on deep trust, but it's also founded on deep respect. And so thank you, Toby, for the relationship well, and the impacts it made along the way. So my career, to know Stuart is to know, I think the first thing is that I'm not a college graduate. And I think Chris started this out by saying we share what is most prevalent on our mind. And at this point in my life at 51 and embarking on a new career, I reflect back on how ironic it is that I had the first career and how ironic it was that it turned out to what it did turn out. So the word that you're going to hear me continue to pull through is incredibly grateful. I'm a byproduct of Marietta, Georgia. Go Wheeler Wildcats for those Wildcat listeners. I would be that kid in class. I got voted least likely to succeed, which was a real like award. My mom has it hung up in her bedroom, and I was voted class clown. So it kind of give you an idea of what path I was on at an early age. Ended up getting into college purely because there was a commercial on a radio station saying that they needed students. And so that was my, you know, I picked up the phone and did a verbal on the phone application and got into a small college, was able to make it probably a semester, maybe two semesters before the immaturity took over. And I was maximizing my college experience in all the wrong ways. And that brought me to a pretty pivotal point in my life. And that was, I had to make a choice. You know, again, both my parents are divorced. My dad was up in New Jersey. My mom was down in Atlanta. And, you know, my mom was working really hard to provide that opportunity. And lo and behold, I needed to make a shift. I wasn't ready for college. And so I joined the Navy. And so to know me is to know that I'm an incredibly proud veteran. Those 2 years in active duty were monumental. They were a tipping point for my life, because up to that point, I think like the world owed me something. You know, I felt, you know, I was definitely an injured or certainly an impacted youth that had a lot of angst and was pushing it out to the world. And the Navy helped me take responsibility for myself, for my actions, for my words, for my mindset. And if you can imagine what boot camp's like, there's not a lot of whining that gets allowed. And what I realized is I did a lot of whining early in my life, and the Navy beat that out of me pretty quick. And so I get out of the Navy and I want to build a better relationship with my father. So I decide to stay in where he lives in New Jersey. And I apply to a bouncer job. And I'll get to the point, this is career, not life, but I'll get to that point. But I take this job as a bouncer, and that's ultimately where I end up meeting my wife, Shelley. I end up taking an opportunity. I knew I love this woman. I needed to provide, you know, a life better than what I had. And so it was like, well, what are you going to do? What's your plan? Well, I had 8 buddies that I went to high school and played football with that all worked for this large company, the company that Toby and Chris and I worked at. And one day at happy hour, they said, hey, we're hiring. And I'm like, I don't have a resume. I don't have a degree. They're not going to bring me in. They said, well, look, we just bought a new company. Why, you know, I'm not sure, but why don't you put together a resume and we'll give it a shot. And so I went home that night. My wife and I broke out the typewriter, which was true. It wasn't a laptop. It was a freaking Brothers P500, whatever. And we typed up Chip Ferguson. We'll get into Chip at some point, but Chip Ferguson sent it in. And I went into this crazy place, this place that made no sense. There was a tremendous amount of passion. There was a tremendous amount of energy in the room, but I didn't really understand what the hell was going on. So after 5 hours of interviewing with this firm and multiple people, I end up taking this job. And I'm going to start by saying it was the single, outside of marrying my wife, the single best decision I ever made was to join this organization. That organization created so much confidence in a very insecure boy. It created purpose. It created a path to opportunity. And so I took on an entry-level job in Atlanta. Worked there for about 6 months, got a promotion, ended up moving from Atlanta to Knoxville, Tennessee, and I ran a large contract there. Moved from that to being asked to move to New Jersey or Pennsylvania to take on a huge project for the company, and we did that. We then were asked to move out to Phoenix, Arizona to tackle another opportunity. My wife and I did that with kids. Then we had an opportunity to take on a new department that they were going to build. And so my wife and I moved again back to Baltimore. And so I share this with you because we were all in on this career, beyond just, hey, it's a great company and it's good pay. It was a passion. I think Toby said it. It was a fanaticism that I had not felt previously in my life. There was a passion, a willingness to give at a level with very little expected in return. It was about the impact, the legacy, and certainly about how to help people, to meet them where they are and to help them find their path and how to be most successful. And so that concept just resonated with me. And so I had tremendous success through majority of that career, achieved a lot of those things, both financial goals, but also the purpose driven about giving back and about who can I bring with me? That concept of one of us, it's a shame if one of us wins. It's a luxury if most of us win. And so that concept of bringing people with you just became at the core. There's a backstory here, and I'll be super quick, but also that angry kid, that lost kid, was deeply seeking acceptance, deeply. And so this wonderful career where there was tremendous acceptance for sacrifice and for going above and beyond. And so that addiction of getting validated propelled me to achieve unbelievable things. And so what's great is, you know, here's a non-degreed veteran who starts out an entry-level job that at the end, in the last 4 years, I had the luxury of being a president of a privately held global company, close to $2 billion in sales and about 4,000 employees. So I had this unbelievable experience of starting at the ground floor and really climbing that ladder and what that meant and what sacrifices came with that and what perks came with that. And so I look back on the last 27 years with so much admiration, not just for the people that were a part of it, but for myself and for what was accomplished. So to know me is to know that I think you can tie in my previous share about my family is, you know, there's not too many problems out there I don't believe that can be solved. And I don't believe that they can be solved by an individual, but more of a community. And so pulling that from my 27 years into this new adventure, I've found a place, a purpose. Now, I'll say this, and maybe this is my story. I was okay at business. I was really good at leadership. I was really good at connecting people and having authentic relationships. And where I would be judged or where I would be challenged are in the areas that weren't really areas of passion for me, right? They were areas of judgment and certainly of measurement, but they weren't necessarily a good guide to how I felt about myself or what my life's purpose was. And so at some point you get to a place where you go, okay, I get a lot of feedback about this stuff. I get a lot of praise about this stuff. There's a direction here. And like Toby, to find a career path that aligns with your strengths, that aligns with your purpose, and aligns with your God-given talent, there's probably a purpose to chase that down a little bit. And so to know me is to know I love the business stuff. You're going to hear me go down the OD route. I get addicted on strategy. I get caught up in all that stuff. But I'm also learning that those topics are secondary to the topic of self and where you are and where you're going. And so you're going to find me steering towards those business conversations, not because, probably because there's comfort in that, but the connection between the output and the input has never been more clear to me than it is today. And that input of self is what propels that success. Last thing I'll share is those 27 years, I had the luxury. And again, this organization that we work for was unbelievable. And in my opinion, groundbreaking in a lot of things that they did. And one of them is to have an embedded coaching or a psychology team or a behavior consultants baked into the organization. So I don't know what it's like to work in a company that doesn't have that resource available for people. And so me as a young man, I got infatuated like Toby, and I got addicted to the personal journey that those conversations pushed me down. So for 27 years, I've been doing the work. Now, what is the work, right? And what have I really focused on the core of who I am and who I want to be as a man? And so this conversation and this part to know me is to know that curiosity has only been ratcheted up over the last few years of that connection between flourishing and surviving and that wanting to get to that place of flourishment. So thank you very much. I'm going to tell you right now, this is, these conversations matter, and the reflection back on how we got here is just it's a gift right now to be able to think back to where we were and where we are today. It's been quite a journey, but I'm glad I'm here. So thank you.
Chris, I'm glad you're here too, man. I was one of those guys that you took with you, right? So all those years. I mean, we met, what, 1998 in Philly. And so,
remember that? You
know, yeah, like crazy off to Philly. And here we are, you know, running our own company together. You know, it's kind of surreal. And Tobe, I think it is important for us to pause and say, hey, like you were our coach. And I think that is unbelievably special. And Stu, I have the same feelings about the organization that we worked with. And I mean, what an unbelievable organization, what an unbelievable gift to give us executives access to someone like Toby. And for us to be able to sit here together to pay it forward to other organizations, hopefully, that want and to give them the same thing and to help their executives kind of navigate the craziness of life. I think that's really cool. So that's kind of the purpose. But really good stuff, both of you guys. I'll be somewhat quick with mine. I, you know, to know me is to know that when it comes to my career, like, what did you say, Tobe? To do something that you have to do versus something that you want to do and still enjoy it. Still enjoy both, right? But to do that, that epitomized me. I went to Penn State. I was a counseling major. Like, I was supposed to be a high school guidance counselor. Like, that's who I mean, to know me, like, that's kind of who I am now. I'm counseling executives now and coaching executives and not like, you know, little high school punks. Thank God I'm not a high school guy. God bless all the high school guidance counselors out there. Right. What a cool job though. Cause you know, I see my boys and I'm glad they have access to them, but I was, I fell into this organization, kind of serendipitously. I was looking for a job. I was going to go back to get my master's degree at Pitt to be closer to my wife, who's from Pittsburgh. And I was responding to an ad in the paper for an HR exam. I'm like, oh, I could probably do that. And the recruiter said, well, why don't you come in and let's talk? So I came in and talked. And next thing you know, she's like, well, why don't you come work with us? And I'm like, okay, yeah, it sounds cool. So she introduced me to everybody. And you know, I got to work with one of my dear friends, Ray Kane, like who's like one of my dear friends even to this day, you know, and he was my first boss ever, pretty much. And 25 years later, you know, it was like, holy shit, like that just, that went, that what an unbelievable journey. But it wasn't who I was. And when I look back at my life, and poor Stu and Toby had to work through this because I was an imposter. Like I was a true imposter. Like I wasn't a bit like, I don't like the business like Stuart does. Like I like the interpersonal stuff. I like talking and helping people. I the business, I had to do it to create, to live and create, you know, earn a living and create what I've created. I'm so proud of that. I don't want to gloss over the fact that I pretty much did most of the roles within the organization. And then I think my last three or four roles were just completely made up roles because of our growth and the opportunity that we had in front of us. You know, but I was a director for, you know, a multi state offices for over a decade. I was regional. I played regional positions as far as like operations and sales. I got to travel a ton and see almost every, I think I've almost been to every state in the country, like pretty close. There's a couple I haven't been to, but like I got to see really cool things. And then later in my life, I'm like, dude, if I'm going to go do this and be away from my family, like, why don't I do some cool shit while I'm here? So I decided to be super intentional about if I went to the cool place, I would kind of engage in whatever that local place is, you know, like cool cultural thing was to do. And I enjoyed that. That helped the travel. And then I ended up as a VP of strategic operations for that, same working for Stuart, as my president. And what an unbelievable few years of my life. Like to make it there to that point and to become financially secure and to see all that I've been able to do and to build things. I really got enamored with building things. I got an opportunity to build things from scratch and digitize the organization and implement technology and all the cool shit that, you know, all companies are dealing with now, right? Most companies we talk to and dealing with right now. So I got a chance to do that. And then it wasn't until, you know, we were going to go through some restructuring and Stuart brought that to me. And I just saw it as an opportunity for me to choose me, right? And finally say, hey, I've done enough, right? And it's important to understand the concept of enough. And when you're working for an unbelievable organization and you're making a really good living and you have stock and you have that, it's hard to draw that line of enough. And in that moment, and I don't know why or how, I just knew it was enough. Maybe, I don't know, Stu, maybe it was the panic attack that I had in the air. I probably could have been part of it. I don't know. There were signs. Yeah, there were signs, right? And Tobe helped me through those. And so but what an unbelievable career. I've had a, you know, 25-year career. And now, you know, again, I was talking to Joy last night, the fact that I am so blessed to finally have a ton of energy. I don't know if you can tell I have energy or passion or anything, but I have a ton of energy and passion towards like left in the tank and to do what I get, like I want to do, and to be able to show my kids that and show, hey, dad's starting his own company with two of his best friends and two of the people that had a significant impact in his life, in his professional career. He's starting his own company. To be able to do that and to finally live that, you know, that counseling dream of, you know, back in 97 when I graduated Penn State, to see it, you know, 25 plus years later, is just a dream come true for me. So to know me is to know, you know, I worked my way up the corporate ladder. I love the friends and the relationships that I was able to create. I was so blessed to join the organization I was able to join, because most organizations wouldn't have put up with my bullshit and being an imposter in that space for so long. So, they did, and I'm just super blessed and excited about it, and just excited about where we are today. So anyway, you guys good there?
One thing Chris won't say about himself, but he was also the director of fun in every group he ever joined. He was not only respected for his knowledge, he did great things, and we'll get into that. But to know Chris in a work environment is to know levity. He brings a level of levity to things that are much needed. And at times maybe mistimed, but I got a couple of funny stories where levity came in maybe at the wrong time, maybe at the right time. Maybe at
Fat Camp. Yeah, wasn't a good judge there, was
it? Team builder at Fat Camp. That was probably one.
That was probably one. Yeah. There was definitely a handful. I chose that over the seriousness of the work a lot of times, which got me in trouble. But
I look back on it and I'm grateful you did.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Well, hey, let's change it up a bit. What got us? And I know we've been going for about 50 minutes now, but I think it's important to talk about like why we're here, right? Like what got us to this point? And just briefly, like because we're going to expand on this, you know, throughout the podcast, right? Like why we're here and what we do and what our mission is and all that other stuff. But like, Stu, why don't we start? Like, why are you here? You know, I mean, you just said you made it all the way up to a president of an organization, and what comes with that is a lot of cool shit. And you chose to do this with us. Like, what? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think before we start there, I think there's also the responsibility to own the reality of why I'm here. And that was, you know, the organization that I led had challenges, had headwinds, you know, financial challenges that ultimately created an opportunity to make a decision to pick a path. And so, you know, I want to be clear that, you know, I don't think the lightning bolt moment or that catastrophe moment necessarily fully showed up for me, but a major sign showed up for me that I was heading down a road that personally was not necessarily going to end in how I started this conversation a minute ago about that passion for future and for life. And so I'll share a couple of quick stories that I think will connect the dot, and then I'll be super brief because we will dive into these more detail. But, you know, I was promoted into the role in 2019, at the tail end of 2019. We took a large organization and we broke it up into three smaller companies. And I was fortunate enough to receive the smaller of the three operating companies. And sure enough, in 2019, we had strategic challenges. We had some business challenges that we had to work through. But the reality was we were in a fairly good position to build this organization. And lo and behold, 2020 came. And it was the beginning. That was the beginning of a significant amount of change, both from a business perspective, but also a personal one. And probably the personal one is the one that I'll spend the most time on. I think four major events that happened from 2020 until ultimately I left the organization at the end of 2023. And you think about it, COVID, first major event as a president, never been in a role like that with as much eyes on it, certainly the decision power it had, the autonomy that was given, but yet I work in an organization where peer alignment was very important. So the complexity and the political dynamic was one that's normal and natural, but yet new to me. And so trying to navigate making major decisions that bumped up against a company's identity and some of their paradigms that they had had was a really challenging moment in many ways. And so you go through that moment and followed up very quickly with the challenges around social unrest and the murder of George Floyd and how the organization was going to respond to that. And I felt a tremendous responsibility to put my arms around the 4,000 employees and try to usher us through a very challenging time, both in society and within our culture, within our company. And so you follow that up, you know, a year later with the Great Resignation. There was a phase that, you know, that coming out of COVID, there was a tremendous amount of people wanting a change in their life. And so massive attrition and turnover for unexpected reasons. It wasn't because we were a bad company or what have you. We just, people chased their ambitions during that time. And I get it, totally understood it, but it created a significant business challenge. And then for us to fall into a place of, you know, from an economic standpoint, inflation created a significant business challenge for us. And so I want to share, there were four major business events that happened within a 3 or 4 year period that created a lot of stress and a lot of unhealthy behavior that came from that on how I process those things. It wasn't the job. The job itself is a job. You understand the tactical part of it, but what I wasn't prepared for was the emotional management of all of those stresses and responsibilities. So in 2020, I found myself, you know, clinically diagnosed with depression and having to hide that, or at least manage that narrative, became very, very challenging for me because I think people appreciated the vulnerability of mental health and how I was working through it. But I think it also started to create some second doubts in my mind about longevity and happiness and fulfillment. And where was I heading on this path? And Chris used the word at the beginning that I want to bring back to life. And that is, there was no better definition of miserably comfortable than the life that I was living. As a poor, growing up poor, finding financial success, I continued to gut it out. I continued to push through even up to the end. I was still making business decisions, hard decisions, and willing to deploy them. But what it ultimately got to was this point of looking, and you said something powerful, Chris, was about having gas in the tank. I knew at 51, I was feeling much older. I was feeling less energy and less capacity to give to the people that love me. You know, so ultimately, an opportunity arose in the organization. Some changes were made. A window was created. And, you know, shockingly to myself and to my wife, and probably to a lot of other people, I finally chose me in a lot of ways. And I chose me not because I didn't want to choose them. It was because I didn't really have a choice. You know, I personally didn't have a choice to continue to kick the can on whether or not I was going to be able to pop out of this mentally. So choosing me was the first decision. Now, I have a tremendous amount of love and respect for where I came from. But I also knew deeply that I wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to dictate the rules with my partners. And when you work for a large organization, a lot of times you inherit the rules and the cultural dynamics of that entity, and you have to respect that. And I respected it for 27 years. In fact, put it on a pedestal. But as times change and as, you know, new seasons of life come into play, I started to realize that there were some foundational things that were much more important to me than maybe some of those old rules. And so I had to make a decision for me and for my family. And I leave with such admiration and great gratitude for that experience. But it brought me to this, in this purpose-driven type of chapter within this life of doing things that bring complete and utter energy and joy and light into my life. And finding myself in dialogue like this, in depth, and people, and really getting to the root of what the challenges of life, that's where my passion has always been. That is what's drawn me. And that ultimately is what got me to that highest level within an organization, was my ability to connect with people and my ability to stick with them through the shit. And so that continuation and choosing that as a full-time career path, if I'm being honest, I wish I would have done this 15 years ago, right? I wish when Toby took the next train stop, I wish I would have gotten off with him, because this is authentically me. There's a whole deeper conversation about 2020 and that depression. There were a lot of things that happened outside of my career that came to a forefront, but there was also the stresses that I have to own my inability to manage them. And that's a big part of it. So that's
well said,
what brought me to True Path were the two words, true and path. You know, for me, this was probably the most authentic I had spoken to myself as an adult ever. And it was the truest, most raw decision that I've ever made with a lot of people around me, but it was me. It wasn't meant for acceptance for anybody other than myself. And so the power of that is really what's pushed me into just being so thankful. And I drive these guys nuts. I mean, I pepper them with texts a million times.
No, yeah,
whatever.
No, you don't.
But the point is, it comes from a place of passion and excitement. And sometimes I don't always know how to show it the best way, other than Miro boards and text of
lots of text,
screenshots. Lots of, so I hope you know that's love. That's real.
Yeah, that's one of the five love languages.
It is. Text messages
at
spreadsheets.
Yeah, midnight. Yeah. Hey, man, really well said. I got to see you and be with you in 20. I mean, that journey, right? And I just tell you, man, to see you now, I've never seen you more happy, which makes me happy and inspires me and gives me passion to kind of bring this to others. If we could do that for you, knowing what you were going through, and I mean, imagine what we could do for others. So that's 100%. Pretty cool, man. Well said. Hey, Tobe, you're in a little bit of a different situation. You're like, you had a sweet gig coaching, doing your thing. You've always been super passionate about this, which is one of the reasons I wanted to join you, because you being my coach and helping me through so many things, one, to be able to pay it forward, but two, just to be able to do it with you has been awesome for me. But then to bring us on and to say, hey, I want to do something bigger, it's a little bit different of a career, not trajectory, if you will, but transition. Maybe tell us a little bit more about that, buddy, while you're here.
Yeah, I think it's well said. I don't have nearly as much, because I'm further downstream with what you guys both have in terms of, like, you know, chapter two. You guys are fresh into it. And I started it some time ago to that point that you just made, Chris. So, you know, I think it for me, it's always been wanting to have a coaching community and do it with people, and specifically with people that I trust and are friends and we're on similar paths. And so for me, it was just a lucky moment of, you know, serendipity with the two of you finding yourselves in a position to find yourself and to really stretch yourself and take some risks to stew to your point. I mean, the work that you've put in is inspiring to me to sit and watch a man come to terms with where you're at and what you want and to take the risk of happiness. Man, how many people don't do that? And the fact that you're on that road and on that journey and path is tremendous. And Chris, on the same right, you know, you said earlier, you know, I knew I didn't want to do what I was doing, but you know, the truth of the matter is you were really good at it.
Really good.
And like, so, really good. You know, even though you necessarily might have been looking out the window of what could be or what should be or what you want, it speaks to a lot of people, I think, of like, but you're really good at what you do, and how easily we can either talk ourselves into it or be talked into, you know, staying the path that we're on there, even though it's maybe not that one that's happy and fulfilling. So for me, I already am in a position where I really love what I do and get to do and who I'm doing it with and the partners that I have from a company perspective. And the fact that you guys are now kind of starting chapter two and to be able to, you know, create a coaching community and a partnership and a business together that just touches more audiences and more people. And you know, I just never wanted to be a one man band anyway. It's just not how I'm built. And it says, you know, I know enough about psychology. I'm sure there's a reason behind that. And I'm sure we'll all get into that. But you know, it's just fun to see you guys and to be a support if I can in regards to this chapter that you're on, not only getting you to the point of where you're choosing yourself, but now how will you kind of, you know, gain the confidence and gain a lot of that you guys are going to, you already have, and you already are doing it, but just to continue that. Cause like me also, I need to continue to build my own confidence and trust in self in this space and continue to keep doing the work. And we say it a lot, but that's really going to be a big, big conversation for us throughout all of these podcasts, is that concept of the work. So, you know, for me, I'm just excited, really excited about what this can be and will be. And, you know, it'll probably be different than what it is today, 12 months from now, 24 months from now. But I love the fact that we get to kind of carve it the way that is in, you know, in conjunction with what we want out of this. And to Stu, to your point, we are at the helm of this to drive it where we want to go. And so I'm just excited to be able to play in the sandbox with both of you in this really, really fulfilling business that you two now are all in and have been in, and we get to be in together.
I love it, man. Love it. Hey, I joked a little bit about, you'll see that's a common theme for me. I hide my emotions through humor. One of the things that it was probably for me, more like I needed a change in my life. I didn't like who I was showing up at home. I was burnt out. I was traveling every week. It just finally caught up with me. My body, I joked about having a panic attack, but that was probably the scariest moment of my life. And it was at 2 a.m. and I literally thought I was going to die in a hotel room in Dallas, Texas, right outside the airport. You know, I never had anything like that happen to me. And the first person I called in the morning and really early was Toby. And I said, dude, I need you. And I don't know what the heck happened to me last night, but something went wrong. And I need to figure this out. And he walked me through it. Thank goodness, you know, his pops had some panic attacks early, and he was able to share that with me. So I didn't feel like I was broken or there was something wrong with me. And he coached me up through that experience, which I thank you, Tob. I mean, I know I've told you that a million times, but so there were just indicators that I needed to change how I was showing up for Joy and the boys. And, you know, Stu, what we always say is be where your feet are. And I wasn't, I just couldn't be. I just had so many other things going on in my life that was taking me away from that. And like having to try to be perfect in this role that I knew I was an imposter and I knew I didn't want to be in, but yet I was good at it. And there was a lot of really good things that came from it. It's just inside. I just knew that it was time for me to make a change. So, and that's a lot about hopefully what we'll talk in this podcast, the work, like identifying where you really are in your life. And I was able to go through that groundedness exercise with Toby and really understand where I am versus who I really wanted to be. And what were the obstacles that were getting in the way for me getting there? And, so I was able to go through the same things that hopefully that we're able to walk other people through on this podcast and through our coaching professions. So for me, it was, I don't want to say it was medical by any means, but almost. I mean, for me, like mentally and emotionally, it was just my time, not taking away anything that I've been through. I'm a big believer that kind of you go through it for a reason. And I went through it and I loved it and hated it. And I'm here now, and I couldn't be more happy and proud to be doing this with you too. So anyway, let's do one last question and then let's wrap this thing up. So what do you hope to kind of get, like to for this to be? Toby, you said this is going to turn into a 20 different thing. What do you hope this to be for you? The audience of the podcast, for our customers, our clients, things like that. What do you hope this to be, Tob?
Yeah, that's a mouthful. That's a deep one. I think in the moment right now, that question, and not that I wasn't prepped with this question, audience, I kind of knew that this was going to be one of our questions, but I really do think from all the work that I've done with all the people I've done it with, I think there's a fear about not being enough. And I also think there's a fear about a fear of being too happy or being happy and finding it. You know, what would I do then when I arrive and I'm happy? And it's an interesting thing that I need to continue to study and continue to think and feel and talk to people and listen to them and then listen to myself about what am I scared about? If through this conversation and our conversations together, and I think Stu, what he said about, you know, and Chris, I think you said it too about men, you know, the audience of us being where we are and being able to speak firsthand to what it's like to be a man and to be a father and be a husband and be a son. But I also think that there's, you know, powerful females that we're around and we're married to. All three of us are married to just such incredible women and have had female, like the mom that raised you, Stu, and your mother and that dynamic with you, Chris, and then my mother with the seeds planted early. And so it isn't a male female. I think at some point I was thinking, well, the men need this. And I think everybody does. And what is this? I think it's just a real truthful conversation about what ultimately you want out of your life and then the truth about where you are today. And are you willing to have the courage to take the path? And I know it's a little, you know, like I'm using True Path, but I think that name chose us as much as we chose it. Cause I think knowing the you two guys, like I do, we've used Path and we've used Truth a lot, but I think that if we can just really get grounded around our fears and be, and then learn to have the courage to start walking those paths, that would be a win for me. That would be if we could make some little impact on one person to have the courage to really be honest about where they are and honest in where they're going and the courage and the know-how to take a path with us. This would be a whole nother level of fulfillment for me. So that's what I hope for it to become. And I know it'll take each one of us to do our own work and all three of us to do work of our company that we want it to be, that entity. And then those that we engage with for them to be willing to do the work. And so it'll take all three to be successful in that. But that's what I hope it'll end up being. Stu, how about you?
Yeah, that's going to be tough to the top. I think, Toby, you said it a couple of different ways and times throughout this conversation today. You know, one of the unique things about having Toby and Chris in my life is I've had the luxury of authenticity and the luxury of full transparency and being able to have dialogue that is rich in truth. And no matter how ugly, how dysfunctional, or how broken it is, I hope this podcast, or more importantly, True Path as a whole, creates that space for people, regardless of where they are, what sex, what gender, what how you identify, but a space to reflect deeply on you, on where you are. And to, you know, there's tons of podcasts out there and tons of companies out there that I think provide similar value that we hope to bring, but you know, there's something about the common man, the common human, the real human experience, not the one that some of the celebrities and all the other podcasts that are out there, all the authors. And, you know, there's a rawness about living this life authentically. And it can be ugly at times. It can be challenging. And my hope is that True Path is, it's not my hope. I think we're committed to meeting people where they are. And committed to meeting people with whatever those challenges. My wife has a saying, not my monkey, not my circus. And she says that because we take on a lot of other people's monkeys and we carry them and they become our baggage. And I think the hope is through True Path and through the podcast and different events and engagement and how we want to interact with our community within True Path is by helping us identify which monkeys are ours and which ones aren't. And to those monkeys that are ours, what do we do with them? And how are they serving you today? And how will they serve you in the future? And that willingness to go there and to have that conversation in a place where judgment isn't present, you know, and that's, I've had the luxury of experience that. And I don't know a lot of men, and I'll bring up men just because of the circles I'm in. I don't know a lot of men that have that forum to be that authentic and to be in a place that's safe to be maybe a little broken. Mm-hmm. And to be in a community of people that aren't there to solve the problem, right? I don't know what those solutions are, but what I do know is how to walk with you. And I do know how to be patient. I do know how to listen. And I certainly know how to provide, you know, to reframe the way that we're thinking about things, to look at them through a more optimistic light. And so to me, this is, I'm hopeful that people want to be a part of our community and a part of our orbit because of the authenticity, because of the frankness of our interactions, the realness of our conversations. And we're not claiming to be freaking experts about anything other than being real students of life and real students of our own dysfunction and our own opportunities. And so, you know, I just hope people find the authenticity and, more importantly, the commitment to helping us flourish in life, both at True Path and beyond. And so I'm just honored to be on a mission that's far bigger than me. And that's what I feel about this company and what I feel about this podcast. You know, I'll stop here, but I have a cheesy saying that I think Chris's blood will probably curdle when I say it, but I mean it. And I think very few opportunities in our life, we have the opportunity to be a pebble that creates a ripple, that creates the change that we want to see in our world. And in this moment, you know, even on this podcast, I feel like I'm dropping that pebble. And I hope that those ripples bring people back that connect us into that bigger vision, that bigger purpose. And so I want to be a part of that change. I want to see humans operate more confidently, more authentically, and to realize that they're more than enough. And I think we operate from a very big deficit in life. And my hope is this maybe breathes a little life into all of us. So that's my hope.
Well said, dude. Well said. Hey, my blood, that's an appropriate pebble one, man. Stu used to use these in corporate, and I'm like, I don't know if I can attach myself to that one, like a pebble and a ripple in a corporate setting. But like this setting, dude, I'm all in, right? Like, let's be the pebble. I think that's super appropriate. And it was appropriate then, just for me.
I'm with you.
And my own imposter and who I was struggling with. But like, I couldn't agree with you more, man. You know, there's a saying that we grew up with through coaches. And I don't know if it was Dr. Les or Dr. Kerr that taught us, but like, you know, the first person on the point of vulnerability creates community. And like, I'm just super excited to have the opportunity to create a community here, when whatever that looks like, and how, whether it's an individual one-on-one partnership or relationship, or whether it's a group or a podcast community or the Inner Mastery program that we're looking to launch next year, like whatever it may be, I think there's a deficit out there for community, no matter who you are. And I'd love to create that openness and that spirit of vulnerability and that spirit of being flawed and broken and being okay and still having control of becoming who you want to be in this life. So that's what I get to do with this. That's what I get to do with you guys. I couldn't be more excited about it. I'm going to conclude this one today, and then I just want to thank everybody for pressing play and listening to us. I hope we'll come back and subscribe. We're looking to do this at least once a week. And I want to thank you for joining us on the path. Just remember, like, every journey is unique, and every step you take shapes that journey. Keep exploring, stay curious, and most importantly, give yourself grace as you forge your path. So until next time, stay true to yourself and keep walking the path.